Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Another episode of the Behind the Line podcast, where we talk about all things related to the Super Retriever series. Hey everyone, I'm your host David Hamilton, and today we have two great guests that go way back. I'll explain the connection these two gentlemen have to each other in a moment. But first, let's take a moment to thank our sponsor, Yukonuba. If you want to get the most of your dog and your training sessions, you need nutrition that holds nothing back. Yukonuba's premium performance lineup is built with the nutrients that dogs need to help unleash their maximum potential. That starts with providing energy that matches their efforts, supporting optimal nutrient delivery, and supporting post-exercise recovery. To find out more, check out the Yukonuba premium performance lineup and find out which fuel is best for your dog at yukonubasportingdog.com. As I mentioned a moment ago, my guests today, they've known each other pretty much all of the younger one's life. You see, they're a father and son combo here, Rhodey and Dakota Best. And Rhodey, you've been in this sport for decades, and Dakota, you're a newcomer here in the Super Retriever series, so I guess I should say welcome back, Rhodey, and welcome, Dakota.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with Dad here. So as I understand, recently had a dog get a title after about 6 years, and so let's just talk about that and that recent accomplishment and, you know, what all it takes for dogs to earn a title.
You know, we just had a couple of events last week, back-to-back SRSs, and somehow pulled it off without getting at each other's throats. But no, we had a really good time. We had a really good time in the first one, and pulled off, you know, six spots in the finals. Me and my trainer Michael Cotton, and then come the second event, I got a fourth place, and Dakota took a dog that I had been trying to run in the SRS for 6 years and took him all the way to the top and won the dadgum thing. So it was mixed feelings for me because I had been trying with this dog for a long time and continued to tell the owner that the dog had what it needed and was super talented, just needed the right chain of events to fall in place. And it did. And Dakota did a great job handling and I couldn't be happier for both of them.
Dakota, talk to us about that weekend for you. It had to be pretty special, yeah?
Yeah. You know, throughout the four series, it was kind of one of those things where I just was like, all right, just keep hanging on until the next series. I had a pretty good first series, scored. I think I was in seventh place after the first series. So, you know, that's always a bright side if you score good in the first series, at least good enough to make everyone nervous or to keep playing. And then field trial set up in the second series. I don't really know how to explain the second series. He got an eight. We had a field trial series and he pretty much stepped on all four birds that a lot of dogs had trouble on. So I was super happy about that. And that obviously pushed us into the semis. I held my place in the semis enough to move into the finals. And, you know, they don't give you the scores after the finals. And so, you know, you're kind of guessing, okay, how'd I do versus how they do, how the judge is scoring it. And I honestly wasn't expecting to win it. I was super happy with once they called off sixth, fifth and fourth place and I was in the top three, I was like, heck yeah, I get to go into the crown. And then they called out my name as the winner and I was completely in shock. I couldn't fathom it.
What's it like to qualify for your first crown ever?
Well, so I actually qualified for the crown with the SRSU a couple years ago, but to qualify as a pro is a little scary, to be honest. Some of the dogs and handlers that we're going to be competing against is no joke. And so, you know, it makes it a little more intimidating than going in there with no one expecting you, as an SRSU guy, you know, no one's expecting you to do great. You know, you go run, have fun, enjoy it. Running as a pro, there's a little bit of a standard. And so you set that you set on yourself also. And so I'm a little nervous, but excited also.
We're going to talk about the SRSU here in a couple minutes. Rody, I want to circle back to something you said a couple minutes ago. With this particular dog, you've been talking to the owner, like, you know, everything's got to line up perfect for the dog, but they're going to get it done. Do you think also that the swap and handler may have assisted on that weekend? I mean, do dogs respond better to one person than they might compared to another person?
I mean, it's entirely possible. Sure. I'm not going to say that, you know, the dog might run better for him. It might be true. I think when I run events, certain events, some of my dogs do better. And then the next weekend, my other dogs might do better. And that was very evident in these two back-to-back SRSs, because I had different dogs do good in each one, and some of them made the semis and some of them didn't. And so, I mean, consistency and quality of the dog goes a long ways, but sometimes if you run the right event that just hits your dog on all their strengths, you're going to do well. And Dakota did a fabulous job. You know, I was coaching him in between each series, and I said, hey, one bird at a time and just take your time. The biggest thing is just take your time. It's easy to get in a hurry up there and get nervous, but if you do that, the dog's going to know it, and the dog's going to sense that things aren't right. And so if you're calm, cool, and collected up there, and you're in control and you're holding that steering wheel, the dog says, okay, I'll go wherever you steer me. Just let me know where to go, how far to go. And that's exactly what happened.
Dakota, you were talking about this is going to be a little bit different than your previous run in the Crown, because you're going from being an SRSU qualifier to a pro. Are you going to lean in a little bit harder into Dad's advice that week, knowing he's been there a few more times than you?
Yeah, you could ask him how many questions I was asking in between the series this past weekend. You know, at the SRS Crown, that he's probably going to get annoyed with me on how many questions I'm going to be asking him and whatnot. So.
Now, you competed in the SRSU. Tell us about that competition. I know it's something that, you know, has been around for a few years now, and they're still trying to grow that, because as the next generation of people, you know, become interested in this sport or maybe want to expand their capabilities and their talents. Just tell us from your perspective what that experience was like.
I mean, it was awesome. It imitated a full SRS competition, just with people that are your age and that are all going through the same thing. You know, it previously was you owned the dog. And so, you know, it imitated the SRS the best it could be. And I couldn't have been happier. You know, you grow up with those guys. Those guys are still running SRS. You still get to see them and talk with them. And so you built a lot of relationships throughout the SRSU that you keep throughout running dogs, whether it be amateur or pro.
And Rody, you've been one of the experienced handlers that has helped some of the younger competitors. So from your perspective, from the pro perspective of helping these young college kids, you know, tell us from your perspective what that event's been like.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think the SRSU properly prepared him for the big stage. You know, he did well at that U event, and then we went to the Crown, and he got to dance with the big guys, and didn't do too bad. I think he came away with ninth place with a dog named JJ, which ironically, JJ was the dog that I won the event right before this one. And she got her SRS champion title, and she's been doing this for 6-7 years. So there was a lot of neat stuff happening at the same time and a lot of things to take away from it and still trying to absorb it all. But yeah, without a doubt, the SRSU prepared him properly and allowed us to develop a coach and student relationship, which helped him when it came to this event, because we'd already been down this road. He knew the advice I was going to give him. He just needed to hear it again and follow it, and it was perfect.
Great stuff. Real quick, we're going to take an opportunity here to promote the SRSU. So Super Retriever Series University event this year will be taking place in Georgia, May 26th to the 28th. Younger competitors, this is your chance to learn so much about the retriever sport at the SRSU. And experienced handlers, if you know a young student that was interested in the game, who's currently in college, grab that student and coach him to a win. All the rules can be found on the rules part of the SRS website. That's www.superretrieverseries.com. While you're there, you can also keep up with all the dogs qualified for this year's crown, see the latest in the Yukonuba Team of the Year point standings, and all the new SRS titles. We are talking to Rody Best and Dakota Best. And Dakota, as I understand it, you are finishing up college and they're going to follow in Dad's footsteps and be a trainer at Best Retrievers. Was that always the plan, or is this something that just recently you decided, hey, maybe I want to go have the same career as my dad?
I had always grew up. He had me out there throwing birds at 8 years old. I grew up out here doing training, at least being involved in the dogs one way or another. And so I had always enjoyed it, but didn't know quite where my path was going. And then I graduated college, and actually moved up to Fort Worth. And then the opportunity kind of popped up to come down here. And honestly, my experience through the SRSU, and running my personal dog, it really got me hooked. And so once the opportunity popped up, I, you know, talked to my wife and we jumped on it, moved down here and starting to learn the ropes of the business.
Rody, how's that feel for you to know that Dakota is taking over the family business eventually? I know you're not going anywhere anytime soon, but he'll be working for you and you get to see him and the wife a little bit more as well.
Well, you know, my wife and I always really didn't put any pressure on them to be in the business. They could be as much or as little as they wanted to. Dakota, I think, took to it a little more than the other two boys that we have. They're younger. He enjoyed it. He enjoyed the dogs. He's always enjoyed dogs and enjoyed the work. He's not afraid of hard work. It was neat to say to him, you know, here, spread your wings, fly, do whatever you want to do. If you ever want to come back here, it's open. If you don't, that's fine too. We're not going to hold it against you. So it was neat to see him go out on his own for a few years and experience kind of a different life. And then, like you said, the opportunity opened up for him to come back here. And I think he was realizing that this is where his heart and soul was. So it's been really, really nice to have him and his wife and my first grandbaby here and around us. And I really, you know, glad that this has happened the way it did.
Let's be honest, though. Y'all got to butt heads a little bit, right? Like, my dad and I are very similar. So we butt heads from time to time.
We're pretty good about it.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't ask for a more receptive person. I mean, he comes to me all the time with questions and heeds my, you know, really listens to my advice and he doesn't have to take it. You know, if he has a different opinion or whatever, I'm open with that. I'm fine with that. I think there's more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak. So, you know, sometimes I know he might not be making the best choice as far as how he's handling the situation, but he's got to learn on his own. And I was the same way. I know growing up, my dad could tell me something, but unless I did it and experienced the mistake or the loss or the failure, I really didn't learn from it. I just repeat it until I eventually, you know, he'd tell me the advice, but I wouldn't heed it. I'd have to figure it out on my own.
Dakota, thoughts on the same question?
I think we work hand in hand pretty well. I feel like, you know, with him traveling a little bit more right now with the phase that he's in, in the phase that I'm in, you know, he's able to kind of hand things over to me while he's gone and enjoy being gone while I can kind of handle things back here. Obviously, I've still got questions, but, you know, training-wise, I'm just trying to absorb as much as I can. There's – in the retriever training world, you can't really learn too much. So trying to absorb as much as I can from him to one day be able to be as successful as he has been.
What's the best piece of advice he's given you so far?
Put me on the spot.
I did. You're sitting 2 feet from your dad. You got to be careful on this answer.
Are you talking about training-wise or overall?
No, both. Training and in life.
I think during the SRS, the biggest thing that he told me was slow down. You know, you get up there on the line and you're extremely nervous and you're trying to think about so many things and when to handle and when to send the dog and where they're looking and all that kind of stuff. And so really taking my time, kind of relaxed me a lot. And I think the dog could also sense that. And so I think that was the biggest thing he took or that I took from him, while running.
What's the summer hold for both of you? I mean, I know we're just now here kind of, you know, mid-April. There's a lot of events between now and the crown. I mean, are we going to see y'all at more events? Are you going to be back kind of there in the home place in Texas training dogs or a little combo of the both? Where are we going to be seeing a little bit more of Rody Best and Dakota Best?
Well, that's funny you say that because it kind of brings up how we got to where Dakota was running Kaizen. Honestly, you know, I've run a couple events up until we ran this last two events. I had not even made the finals in the first one. Come back, you know, little beat myself up a little bit about it and worked a little harder. And I go to the next one and I pull out a second with the youngest dog on my truck. So now the ball is starting to roll. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I'm in the zone. And we go to run this event, and there's eight handler spots per – or eight dogs per handler limit. And I had my eight dogs, and I had a few extras. And my trainers, Dakota, Michael, and Kerrigan, they all were going to run their personal dogs. Dakota was going to run his dog, Man. Michael was going to run Glock, and Kerrigan was going to run Remy. And I was just sitting there thinking about it, and I told my wife one night, I said, what if we gave them an extra dog apiece? You know, one of my SRS dogs, it gives them another bullet, you know, to use and learn. And the more experience they can get up there at the line, the better off. So that's what we did. And Dakota ran Man and Kaizen in the first one. And then he ran only Kaizen in the second one, which he won. I mean, he took one dog all the way to the finals and won with it. That's pretty impressive. And then Michael took the two we gave him, or the one we gave him, plus his personal dog, and he went all the way to the finals and got
Fourth and sixth.
Fourth and sixth, yep. And then Kerrigan, she was running her personal dog, Remy, and she got 13th in the first one, just barely missed the semifinals. And I think she got 14th or 15th with Remy in the second one. And so just stellar production and success we were very happy with. You know, I'm not going to sit back, though, and enjoy this too much because we've got a lot more events coming up. I've got five qualified for the crown. Dakota has one. I know Michael wants to get one qualified. Kerrigan wants to get one qualified. So we're back at it hard trying to get ready for the next one. We've got probably four or five SRSs in May and June, one at the end of April, a couple in May, and then a couple in June. And then that's it for us as far as SRSs go. I've been hitting it hard with Master, trying to get all my dogs qualified for Master National. So I've been trying to balance both the Master dogs and the SRS dogs. That's been a chore. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to some slowdown, to be honest with you. In July and August will be our slowdown period.
And how does – I mean, I imagine that's a common thing for a lot of pro handlers. So – How do you balance that where you're trying to, you know, focus on both SRS and Masters at the same time?
Wow, good question. I mean, the SRS uses Master tests in their series, so it doesn't hurt them to train for Master tests. Where we struggle down here in Texas, obviously, is being able to do the white coat game where the dogs are picking up, you know, field trial marks at 300 or 400 yards. As it warms up in Texas, we become very limited in what we can do. So we usually hit the field trial portion really, really hard in January and February. And then we hit the hunt test side of things in March and April and try to throw them a white coat mark every once in a while. But we really base our training around the weather and what we can fit in. And then you just expect the unexpected. There was a setup I was doing the other day, and my dogs just could not. It was impossible to get them to line up for this mark and get them to go straight at it. And somebody said, what does it matter? You know, as long as they make it out there and hunt the area. And I'm like, you don't understand. In an SRS, you're getting judged by the line that you take to the bird. So these dogs need to learn that if this is the line I give you, this is the line you need to take. So we spend a lot of time on taking good lines and going where sent. We use our volume of our send when we say their name to translate distance. The louder I say the name, the longer I expect the dog to go for a retrieve. And so there's just a bunch of little things that we do over January, February, March, all those months getting ready.
And do you anticipate that, you know, we'll have more events, you know, that you said the remaining events you have here in the coming months where all four of you will be competing? Do you think there'll be events where Michael will have some dogs, Kerrigan will have some, you know, Dakota will have some, and you'll have some ready?
Yeah, that's going to bring up an interesting conundrum, honestly, because several years ago when Luke started getting, you know, when Luke was working for me, he was running all the SRS dogs. And I just decided to kind of let him take the reins on it because not because I didn't have the desire to do it anymore or, you know, didn't want to work hard at it. I just felt like as a business, we should be represented as one unit. And us going up together and competing at an event together, I didn't think was a good idea. Now, here we are this year, and all four, or me and my three trainers, we were all competing against each other. But actually, the environment was healthy. We were all rooting each other on. I don't think I was one bit sad that Dakota got first. I don't think Michael was one bit sad that I got first, second, and third in the other event. We were all happy to be there and just enjoyed the moment, and we cheer for each other and we cheer for Best Retrievers.
Dakota, what's a typical day look like for you? I mean, I know that you're training, your day may be different than your dad's or the other trainers there, but just give our listeners some idea. And I realize no 2 days are the same, but you know, what time you get up, how many hours are you training, what time you go to bed? Just give us a feel for what's the day in the life of a professional handler.
Well, you got to start off with Axel.
Yeah. I got a 4-month-old baby, and he takes a lot of time, as a lot of people know. But I'm really enjoying that. It is a very tough balance, balancing a newborn and work, because you've got to pick your priorities. But you know, my day gets started pretty early, get up to the kennel, get loaded up, normally get in training by probably somewhere around seven. It varies each day. And I've still got a wide variety of dogs. So I've got some dogs that are doing obedience. I got some dogs that are in the field, some high level competition dogs. And so I'm very kind of spread with where my dogs are at. And so, you know, I'll spend the first half of the morning at the kennel doing all my foundation stuff and all my drill work. And then, I spend the afternoon out in the field and normally done by 5:36, and the evening spent with the family and the kiddo. If we're not, mainly just spent with the family and the kiddo, trying to spend time with them.
What's it like being a father?
It's awesome. Very rewarding. He's, you know, now that he's 4 months old, he is a lot more interactive. And so getting him to smile and laugh, and it's very hard to explain, but there's nothing really like it.
David, he just discovered, dogs just the other day, just a few days ago. You want to tell him about him laughing?
Yeah, he, you know, we can try to get him to laugh and he'll laugh. But the other day, the English bulldog that we have here, Tuli, she was up next to him, and, you know, English bulldogs snort and cough and all kinds of stuff. Well, he was belly laughing for 5-10 minutes. He would not stop laughing at her. And it's really cool seeing him, you know, really interact with dogs and enjoy dogs.
Yeah, I think
so the baby, and this isn't an insult to your baby, I'm saying all babies, the baby that snorts and coughs was laughing at the dog that snorts and coughs and makes weird noises. Rhodey, what's it like to be a grandpa and to see, you know, a child that you raised now be an adult and be a father of his own?
Wow. You know, for me, as I get older, I just turned 50 this year, so I used to be the spring chicken in the SRS, you know. Now I'm one of the older guys. I've been doing it probably more than me and Scott Greer probably been doing it the longest. It's being a grandpa is kind of a part-time job. When I was raising kids, it was a full-time job. And thank goodness I had my wife, Kristen, to help, because running the business and trying to raise a family was just, it was tough. It was really rough. And any family that can stay together and run a business, you know, Stephen Durrance and his family, kudos to them. He's got a big family and they've got a great family unit. Scott Greer and his family, there's a lot of SRS guys that just do a great job, raising a family and teaching them the values they need and still being able to run the business and take care of your dogs and keep your clients happy. It's not an easy balance, but, I think being a grandpa is definitely easier because I'm just part-time. I'm just whenever they need it, I'm here. But other than that, I can focus on other tasks. So,
As the season continues, what's the one thing the two of you, are looking forward to the most?
I mean, we're going to try to get a title on that dog Kaizen now that he's got the win, cause that's the hardest thing to do. We're going to try to get a title on him and really hit it hard for the crown. I'm already nervous, but I'm really amped up for the crown because that's, you know, best dogs in the country all competing in the same competition. So really amped up and excited for that.
Yeah, for me, you know, for me, quite honestly, a little vacation and R&R would be nice. Been hitting it hard, really hard since February. Haven't had, but heck, Easter was my first day off in 2 months. You know, I haven't had a single day off. Working 7 days a week. We had two SRS events that we hosted, And then we've had four midweek master tests that we've hosted at my place. And then we have a weekend hunt test coming up here this weekend. So there's just been nonstop, and I just need to come up for air for a little bit and get some R&R. I've got a trip planned to Africa this summer, so I'm really looking forward to that with my wife. I can't wait for that, just to get away for a little bit. It's very refreshing to step away for a little bit, and it gives you a chance to recharge your batteries and come back even better. I'm not about to give up. We still have another month and a half of this, and I'm going to keep pushing hard, and we're going to keep trying to be as successful as we can. But boy, I can't wait till the 1st of July for a little vacation.
You said you're going to Africa. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, my wife and I went 5 years ago, and we went because I made a deal with my kids, and I said, if you'll graduate in the top 10% of your class, we'll take you on a trip anywhere you want to go for your senior trip. And the reason we did that was because if you get top 10% in Texas, you have automatic entry into any state institution, Texas A&M, University of Texas, et cetera. So give them some options, open some doors for them. And of the three, Dakota was not one of them. He was close. What were you percent-wise? You remember?
Like a 12th or something. I was close, but not quite there yet.
My middle son, Dylan, got top 10%, and he chose Africa. So couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is kind of cool because he wins and I win at the same time. So wife and I and Dylan went and had a just absolute fabulous time. Honestly, it was the best vacation we've ever been on. And while we were there, I told my wife, I said, I really want to come back here and do this again. Just you and I, you know, maybe with some friends. So we set out 5 years ago to do it this year. This is our 30th wedding anniversary and my 50th birthday. So we're kind of celebrating an all-in-one package and doing a little trip to Africa for about 7 days of hunting, and going to have a blast.
That sounds awesome, man. Yeah, congrats on 50th birthday. Congrats on 30 years with your wife. I saw on your Facebook, she posted a picture back on Valentine's Day of y'all 31 years ago. And yeah, man, that mullet back in the days was awesome. But it was I got one final question for the two of you gentlemen. When we go to the crown, wife/mom, Kristen, if it comes down to it and her husband or her son has a chance against the other one to win the crown championship, who's mama/wife pulling for?
You're going to get a different answer from each of us.
Well, yeah, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I think she'll probably pull for me. you know, just he's been to the crown. He's a little more experienced. I mean, I'd say you probably deserve the crown championship win more than I did. But if it came down to it, I think she'd pull for me.
Yeah, I think honestly, he probably has a better shot than me. I've been to the crown, oh man, probably at least 10 or 12 times. And I think I've only been in the finals maybe one time. The pressure and the competition is incredible. This year, I have 5 dogs qualified, more than I've ever had before. I like to think I have a few more shots. You know, it's always better to have a few more bullets in the gun. Every time you run a dog, you learn each time how to do the next one a little better. So that helps. And hopefully by the end of the next month and a half, we'll have a few more dogs qualified, and I'll have the biggest load I've ever taken. But as far as who she's going to cheer for, I don't know. That's such a hard answer because, like Dakota said, I've been a bunch and never had an opportunity to win one. And I think she'll cheer for him though. I do. I think he's mama's boy, and she loves her kids. So I think she's going to cheer for him.
That's a good answer. I hope one of you makes her happy this year at the crown, and I know you both make her proud no matter what. And I'll make you both a deal. You know, Rhody often joins us on the live stream as a co-host if he's not competing or if his dogs have been eliminated. So if both of you are in the finals, and I won't have either of you as a co-host there on the live stream, but if either one of you don't make it through, I'd love to have Rhody or Dakota come join me over there in the broadcast booth. So you both have been great guests today, and I really appreciate your time. But best of luck to the two of you in the rest of the year. Best of luck in being a dad and a granddad, and we'll see you out and about at several events this year, and then we'll conclude this year at the Crown, and maybe one of the two of you will be this year's Crown champion. So, gentlemen, thank you both for your time.
Thank you, David.
So thank you, David.
All right. Bye.